Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time, FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby, come on.
Jump right into it tonight. Brother has had a very busy week, but we're going to break it down. So, first and foremost, if y'all understand how we do things over here on Fed Life Station, we just lock, just turn the locks, lock the doors, lock all the windows. See, now, you had an opportunity before, but now, you just can't leave. So, thank y'all for tuning in. Fed Life Station on Philly Friday. And a special shout out to our New York family. Hanging out at Becker Evans College. Brooklyn, all the boroughs. And as y'all know, I'm coming to you live from the city 215. So, we are right at the turn of the hour. A beautiful day today. Temperature's currently at a nice, comfortable, cruise control type temperature. 61 degrees. And, yeah, we're going to get into it, y'all. You know, I was at this conference, man. It's a beautiful conference. And it's held here in Philadelphia. I think this is the second time it's been in Philadelphia. I'm not sure if it's the second time, but I heard it was the second year in a row. Like 5 years in a row. And this conference is, let's see. I want to make sure I get the name right. You know what I'm saying? Of the conference. Because it's a conference for black male education. So I believe that's the name of the conference. Black Males in Education 2023. And man, we have had the chance to link up with some very special people. The people who have served a role in the community, have done some work, and you know, and we got a chance to build and make some connections. I always say, man, I like the conferences for the opportunity to learn new things, but I also like the conference for the opportunity to find like-minded people to network. Because you know, especially your brother in this particular field of education. It's a lonely spot, lonely position to be in. There's not a lot of brothers who actually are able to break through the glass ceiling that I put before us. And then we have to always walk the tight rope in these academic settings, whether you're a preschool teacher, whether you're an elementary school teacher, whether you're working in the middle schools, high schools, or higher education. You have to walk the tight rope because they're always swinging for us. When I say that, I mean anybody who may feel threatened by the influence you have in that particular institution. So we have to be very, very careful about how we roll around those particular circles. So I'm grabbing tasty, grab a sip of my tasty beverage, hold tight. Yeah. So now we're working into it, man. So I've been having some conversations with brothers lately concerning the dating scene. And one of the conversations we've come up with, or that we came to, is that women are not being honest about, you know, what they want out here versus what they say they want. And it got me to thinking about something, concept that I had brought up a few years ago. I hope it's airway. All right. So, man, I have been very much privy to observing a lot of these movements that were based in identifying toxic masculinity, all of these different pushes that were being put out into the ether about women not wanting to be harassed both on the street and at work. And I took note of it because we're going back to like 2015 for some of these things for attraction. Y'all remember the one where the white girl was walking through Harlem and they tried to make it seem as though all these black men were harassing her? So they had like 7-8 hours to film, but they condensed it to 12 minutes. So I paid attention to that. I paid attention to the slogans. You know, we don't want street harassment. You had that this sister from I know they don't come at people, but there's a sister from Rutgers, you know, and give me a better member of her name real quick, because I want to I want to actually identify so y'all don't think I'm just out here tripping, right? I want to identify her. I'm actually looking her name. I should have said before I came to this, you know. Hold up, that whole time, y'all. Looking at a picture of her right now for the video. All right. And it's funny, I'm going to click her name. One second. And I'm not talking about Gloria Steinem. Like, you know, Gloria Steinem, you know, even though we don't understand. Identify her as one of the people who collaborated to distort the thinking, integrate to the cycle of where black women were meeting and gathering. And basically instrumental in being a catalyst for black feminism and a very disruptive and catalyst for breaking up black men. But I digress. I could find it, but it's just gonna take too much time. So one of the things that I might have it right here. But one of the things I want to point to is that she was talking about how she got tired of being harassed walking past work sites, construction sites, and I'm like, who the hell is harassing you? She was the one trying to convince black women go on a sex strike and black men didn't vote. I'm like, who are you striking? Like, who are you blocking Jake Town? And I mean, listen, man, I'm not going to be politically correct. So if y'all looking to listen to a politically correct program, I need to go down the dial. It's not happening here. Not at this particular hour. Office hours are in session. But one of the things that was really striking to me and came up was the lockdown that occurred in 2020. You see, right up until the lockdown, we had all of these talk shows, we had the sisterhood on full display, talking about how thirsty and dusty men were, how they tired of their attention, how some of them were so fed up with men that they were going to stop speaking to men and their families, so we cut them off. And I'm going to come to that in a minute because there's something to be said about that. So, I noticed that as soon as the lockdowns happened, like when it first started happening, less than a week to the lockdown, I started seeing on my Facebook storyline, I started seeing women. First, I started noticing more women were posting stories. And typically, people utilize their stories to promote something. Or just, you know, they were being silly. Even some being a little bit slightly salacious. But then I happen to notice originally, I'm seeing a lot more women posting stories of them sitting back and trying to look sexy. They got their wine glasses. There's music playing in the background. And they're dancing and gyrating. And this is when we saw a spike in those twerking videos. And I was sitting back like, you know, I'm analytical. I function high on the pyramid of booming sexology. My thinking goes all the way to the top. But I'm stuck on the analytical part right now. Like, why is it happening? So I start thinking about this. What has changed drastically in society? Now, where women are coming on Facebook, coming on Instagram, and we're seeing it. We're starting to see a lot more, you know, projects and activity. Oh, and then it hit smacking my face like a ton of bricks. Not like brick that you used to, but real. Not really, figuratively speaking. These women are missing out on their male validation and attention. The very thing publicly that they denounced. And I was sitting back like, holy shit. Could it be that deep? Could it be that interesting? Like I was floored by this because it happened so fast. And then I said, hold on for a second. Ladies are missing the guy that watched them walk as they walk down the block past the corner store. As they're going up and going up and down stairs to access public transportation. Whether they're going on the train. In Philly, we got subways, we got we got metro lines that go throughout the city, and we have a plethora of buses and trials where women get gawked at. When I say gawked at, I mean stared at, you know, because listen, as a straight man, heterosexual man, I admire the beauty of women. And here's the one thing I will say. Nobody can embody sexy more than a black woman who keeps herself up. Hell, we'll even, she don't even really have to keep herself up. We just gotta believe she's clean. And if she's nice enough looking, she could have been working with Fries all day in Wendy's. Grease all over the place. She got that glaze from that not so vegetable oil that processed food is cooked in. We'll find a way to approach. Okay, sis, I'm gonna get you okay. You're fine. All topic, but not all topic. I saw this, man. This conference out there that I was at. He has some beautiful black men. And you figure the sisters are there. I'm gonna tell you, the sisters are there, a lot of them, I believe, are there because they know the men are gonna be there. So it's predominantly male conference, yeah, a hell of a lot of sisters. I say the cut is probably 70, 30, 65, 35. But the sisters have gone out of their damn way to be hella fine as a compliment of you sisters because they got that natural, got the line, got the hair. Compliment of you sisters, they want you to start blushing. Say, okay, keep it moving, but you know, you get closer. I see you tomorrow. But it just nasty place that we're talking about. Women weren't getting that attention no more. You know, I taught an ethics class. I actually wrote the curriculum at Harvard College for ethical life, ethical issues in professional life. And I taught that class for the better than 12 years. So if I was at Harvard for 12 years, at least 10 years, that class would be 2 or 5 years. One of the topics we talked about in that class is workplace harassment, sexual harassment, workplace. And we spent a whole class identifying the different ways men can be accused because it was predominantly about that. How men could be accused of sexual harassment, the things they didn't realize across the line. For instance, if you have a conversation that might be lewd in nature, and it's amongst a closed group of people. If somebody overhears your conversation, you can be violating your company's policy on sexual harassment. You could be the pizza man, pizza woman. If you deliver a pizza to the workplace and you overhear somebody making lewd comments, that in itself is sexual harassment in the workplace. Even though the two jobs aren't connected, after hours, go into the happy hour. Supposedly off the clock. Guess what? It's considered an extension of the workday. So if your boss happens to say something, or your co-workers happen to say something, that makes you feel violated, they too fall under the policy that will say that they're part of sexual harassment violations. It's so crazy that if you touch a person on their shoulder and it was unwanted, you have now sexual harassment, sexual assault, and criminal charges are going to be brought up. There have been multi-million-dollar lawsuits based on such things. So, and these are lessons in the class. This is a whole lesson. This is a whole four-hour lecture. This is a four-hour lesson. It's not just a one-hour, you know, cheesy, two-hour day. No. It's from 5:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. So, but I learned, I said, wow. Then I even get the workplace so-called harassment. Let's say so-called, we all know it depends on who's out there, you know, making the comments or compliments. And if that person actually, you know, if somebody you like, then he wasn't harassed, he was flirting. If it was somebody you don't like, If you're one of those ugly Dutchmans, guess what? HR is going to be notified of this transgression. All right? So, we got to pay attention to those things because what I started seeing is all these women that are posting. And here's this. The longer it went, like the further we got like 2 weeks in. Remember, the lockdown was about 3 months. So 2 weeks in, I was starting to see lingerie. We're starting to see holes in the beard with ropes between the teeth. We're starting to see all kinds of the addition of sort of like enticement. And I found out women were getting excited about how many people saw their story. So they were wanting their stories to go viral. That's because they sought that digital replacement, that dopamine rush for when they receive validation from a man in a sexual relationship. It's non-sexual, it's sexual relationship. In other words, it's not intercourse taking place. It's not, you know, what do you call it? Pre-sex, whatever. It's not that thing, right? But it's in a sexual nature. You know that somebody's attracted to be sexual because not only do they watch it, they can also send their emotions through it. They send a card, they send kisses, and all this other stuff. And then you know. And then most of these women were getting DM by these men. I said, take that up. You mean to tell me, because, you know, the street harassment thing is a big deal. They were actually pushing legislation together to lock others up for that. And the way it was promoted, in a way in which it was only targeted men, and more specifically, it really intensified when you talk about black men. And so, I said, wow. And now, you see, so the last few years, OnlyFans has become, you know, known for that. With OnlyFans came out. OnlyFans was like a version of Patreon. OnlyFans was for people who wanted to get paid for their work through, you know, digital use. So I'm not, so I can do a presentation, but I don't want to do it on YouTube. I want to get paid for it. That's what OnlyFans originally started out at. Also, for celebrities who wanted to have access to their fan base, but they wanted to go behind the table. OnlyFans became pornographic during this particular time when layoffs took place and women were primarily looking for another way to replace that income. Now, OnlyFans has dropped off significantly now. The average person makes maybe $200 a month on OnlyFans. And that's including all the ones that are popular and all the ones that are making tens of thousands, somewhere up to the hundreds of thousands. I'm not sure how many cost $1 million barrier at this point because this economy, people can't afford it. But a lot of people, a lot of women are struggling pay the bills because we live in a society where everybody talks about they don't catch bills, but they catch flights. And it's totally skipping over the fact that we're in an economic bone crushing situation right now. Economically, all things that are happening, including one of the shows, Jason Black, were putting together a program a few days ago that actually spoke to the economy. Versus when your grandfather's paying all the bills and multiple families all over the city and have multiple houses. Yeah, he can do that when the house is $9,000 for the whole damn house. But now, the average cost of a price house is like $150,000. I don't give a damn how many six-figure guys you find. That's a trick. And interest rates are higher than what they were back then. And, oh, this brother, there's a brother on YouTube that does that. And, but Now all of a sudden, women saying they want men to pay 100%. Whereas the black community, 100% is a figment of your imagination. My father had a good damn job for the time. My mother was still working in the factory. And that was in the late 70s, early 80s. So, I'm not sure where that delusion came from, you know, but a lot of us need to wake up to smell the coffee. So, Lisa out there right now, utilizing Facebook stories, IG stories, now TikTok, chumming up the waters for bail validation. And that's a dangerous situation because you start getting those dopamine hits. Can't no man, no one man in real life stand up against the attention you get, the mail validation, the hits on your DMs and inboxes you get from all these strangers that it really should scare you all at this point. It's just a little bit weird that a perfect stranger is out there promising to fund your whole life. All you know that person from the DMs. But that desperate time caused desperate response, desperate situation, I suppose. And that kind of takes us into, and I'm going to finish up on this, the Joe Smith reality, right? Because this one also speaks to, revelations that we need to come clean about. As many of you know, Joe Smith, former famous basketball star with Maryland Terps, college student, and he went number one draft pick several decades ago. And he played in the NBA for about 13, 14 seasons. And he amassed about $61 million in total gross and pretty much squandered it all. He oversees a healthy basketball pension, about $230,000 a year, somewhere around there. But he had wiped up a lovely lady by the name of Keisha Shavers. And Keisha Shavers was an actress. She appeared Friday After Next. I believe she was the one carrying a laundry going up the steps at the beginning of the film where they were asking her what they looked like. She said a bunch of rent-a-cops. And I honestly believe that was her in that role, it looked like. So she also was a singer. She went to Germany, tried to get her career off the ground to work. And she dabbled into the flesh trade. Not necessarily straight, but she became a sex worker. And very popular. She has an extensive catalog. And apparently she met up with Joe. Joe met up with her. I think they met up at a party or somewhere. They've had a tumultuous relationship. If anybody has witnessed or observed any of the stuff that was going on, and the press, if anybody observed anything, yeah, Joe's in for a long ride. So she's been all over the place. First, this became an issue when she started to record a personal conversation between her and Joe. And I guess this was in an attempt to gain public favor. Whatever reason, persons do that for their personal life, I don't know, but it seems to be the route everybody likes to take. I guess seeking more of that validation. It didn't go so well for her because then she became a target of a lot of people questioning her moral ethics. So she consistently went on talk shows, she went on TNT Sports. She was on another brother's show recently with her and Joe. and Joe ended up getting up and walking on the set. And it was one of those things where she consistently masculine stuff. And it was, you know, when you're in the community, you gotta recognize something. And as black people, it's normalized for the women to masculine the men and challenge the men. So a woman would say stuff like, I remember, it's always rubbed me the wrong way. If I got my own house or apartment, and I got my own ride, why can't you? And brothers would be explaining, be like, yeah, I see the point. And I'd be like, well, what if it's the other way around? And trust and believe, I understand how hypergamy works. The man is always supposed to have more resources than the woman. We don't live in those times no more. Especially the generation that followed mine. I'm the generation X. You got the, what do they call, millennials. Stuff like that. That stuff doesn't, that's not the world we live in right now. We live in a world that's been equalized in terms of people having access to good paying jobs, specifically the white collar areas. And for the majority of white collar jobs, women are hired. And I'm going to tell you why. It's a very sexist reason as to why women are hired. Women are hired in a lot of these jobs where they get the middle management in place. They might even get TV. But the men that do the hiring don't feel threatened by the women. So if it's another man, now that's a challenge. That's why you have a lot of emasculated black males, you know, in the high places. And those spots, because those emasculated black males also don't serve as a challenge to the dominant authority in those positions. And that's, you know, you can go back to your own research on that. I promise you, you'll come up with the same results. So yeah, for women working in middle management, things that nature, while men are struggling to get a foothold on jobs, we're talking about, in this conference we were at today, yesterday too, we were talking about the fact that we need more black men in education. But the problem is the red tape that's put up to get black men there, eggshells that black men must walk on, all of the people who feel threatened by a black man, black man, operates in his full masculine frame. People get easily offended. It becomes a bunch of nitpicky bullshit. A lot of stuff that goes on around the office. And most men just, it's just, you know, it comes to the point where I'm going to the private sector. Well, I'm going to step off of here. That's probably why, you know, most black men fizzle out of teaching, out of the academic, you know, arena because of the cadence of the environment. They're saying women don't do it to themselves because, you know, I know this fight that have happened with women overstep their bounds of women. That's the story. I didn't know she had an overhand right like that. But anyway. So, here's the issue that I'm bringing up with Joe and Keisha Chavez. This right here is an open case study as to why the woman's sexual past matters. Because Keisha Chavez stated that she tried all these different hustles to keep their boat afloat. She expected a certain type of lifestyle. She got with a former, you know, very popular NBA basketball player. And she expected to be the recipient of their lifestyle. It wasn't cheap. She started her own hustle. She started a moving company. She started a massage company, for which she's still doing a massage company, part of the company that she recently went live. Doing, giving a massage, the holographers, camera, live on their show. You know, it is what it is. So, and that's after all the things. Like, she doesn't really see anything wrong with the fact that after everything else fell, the flesh craze, you know, was there for her. OnlyFans was still there for her. And even though she's in her 50s, she's not a bad-looking woman. I would imagine she takes care of her body. And people will still pay to see it. And now that they go to see Joe Swift's wife, let me tell you something about like the camera did wrong for that too, bro. I'm just gonna put that out. I'm gonna get the camera on. I'm about to go. Damn right, get off of that, bro. You ain't supposed to kick a man while he's down. Doing that is kicking a man. That's just totally no respect to Joe Smith. Which is a place that men get into when they become emasculated. You lose respect amongst your peers. Which is why I beat a promiscuous woman with a promiscuous past that when the chips are down, will resort to that promiscuity in order to get back to a certain status. Damn your feelings, damn your respect, damn your emotions. That needs to take consideration. That's why the majority of men want to know the woman's body count. Because when things get hard, she want to turn to something hard. And it ain't what you got. Just understand that. And yet, not all of us, but too many of y'all. And it's that. So, and now we get to the last one, right? Now, see, everybody thinks that they can't call Darren Jackson situation to skit enough to promote her song, Usher, in a video, and all that other stuff. And I told way back when that I didn't think it was a skit. Because I don't know, you know, I just don't see. I see the brother, he made out of had, you know, upper hand in terms of who was in control, who was in charge, what stopped that in that relationship. But I knew that once that happened, which that fucked me, that shit is real. And you got a lot of flack to be that. And then, I had a conversation with the sister that was on this show. I interviewed her a few months ago. And she went on social media talking about how people are moving right, she should be allowed to do whatever she wants to do. I said, wow, it's a married woman. It just comes off wrong. So I said, okay, well, you know, that's all good. But because of the picture that's being painted around this man, presenting a very strong case that I'm winning a custody battle if this thing ever went to court. And he went to custody for his child. No, it ain't child support. Because supposedly, he needs the money. Right? So, when we hear about this situation, you know, I think we need to, you know, look at it from, you know, the perspective of, you know, all the efforts coming true. So, last week, Kiki Palmer got a restraining order on Jeremy and said that he was physically, emotionally abusive to her and that he had put hands on her. And then she sent out two stills from video camera surveillance, in-house video camera surveillance. She sent out two stills. And World declared Darius guilty of domestic violence and that he was a weak man and that she should have been got rid of his bum ass. Oh, and I'm telling you, it went down the list. And I saw brothers saying things like, no, wait, let's wait till all the evidence comes out. We all remember the Rihanna and Chris, what's his name? The other one talking about, the young boy, not so even small. But he got to that thing with Rihanna, he was identified as, just to tell you how much I really don't listen to about that. Like, music and all that stuff, other than some things, but I'm just not, that stuff is not on my mind. In regards to things in the public way. But he was identified as abusive. And no matter who you tell stories to, they still come from her perspective. And it was later found out that the reason why he hit her is because while he was driving, she grabbed his testicles and started squeezing. And for anybody to say that they don't help, anybody say if you don't, that that's no reason to answer somebody, never had to let you see. Never had to let you see. So, you know what I'm saying? Shit, shut up. I've never had to let you see. And, and I'm not justifying, legitimizing anybody putting their stuff on there. But, on my prospect, there's nothing had that happened. So, reaction, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I pray that it never happens. And I'm going on about this because he was condemned. Derrick Jackson was condemned. And then you had, on top of Derrick Jackson being condemned, you had Derrick and his people come out with evidence the next week. And the very next week they come out. And Derrick not only had video footage, I'm not going to put it, stock pictures of marks, bruises on him, kicked, but he also has an audio. We're going to listen to a little bit of this audio. Just a second. We're going to listen to a little bit of this audio. And I want y'all to pay attention to this. Hold
on. The parents of sacrifice their childhood day.
Oh, by the way, explicit language. So I'm just letting y'all know. It's a little potty mouth. We're not going to listen to the whole thing. We're going to listen to some of it.
You said it,
did you put it through? Did you put it through?
You speak English? That's probably why you can't get no captain job.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Confidence.
If only you actually like.
What does that mean? And you put it through. And he's trying to do the whole child actor parents sacrifice their childhood game. There's no reason for that. You do that because you're nuts. There's no reason for you to say Jezebel, hey, that's all necessary. You do all of that unnecessarily because something's wrong with your mind. It's not normal. You sound like you have a broken brain and you need to go to see somebody because you're chemically imbalanced. There's nothing that I've done for you to stay on that page. People have endured more. I've endured more from you, and I don't do that to you. I don't sit up there and call your cousins names and do stuff like that. You randomly have had an episode, and then you harass me for an hour straight. It's not normal. It's not necessary. Just not talk to me.
I'm gonna harass you. I've been so sexual. He's with me.
Now I'm gonna stop it right there. And you know what? In this whole situation, Usher caught a slug in this. And I'm be honest with you. I ain't too mad about that. I thought Usher was being messy playing along with him. Now, she was responsible for showing up to his show, his live show, with a pancake towel. But Usher going along to making a video about my boyfriend or something like that. You know, that was messy. And, you know, we're dealing with messiness right now with this whole, with this, I don't even mention this clown's name that came out with this Will Smith story, right? We're dealing with messiness. Men aren't messy family. Men don't get the middle of gossip crap. Men don't have to tell all fools about situations that incriminate another person. You know, not masculine men. There is an acronym to describe the thing at all. The acronym BAN. BAN. Those are the only guys that's out there spilling the tea. Not masculine, bro. Now, I put up this part about Darius Jackson. In fact, he is, and I believe a lot of this right now, he's calling for press charges or getting a restraining order, full custody charge. I believe a lot of this is because she realized that she painted herself into a corner in terms of the custody of her son. She painted Darius the house husband, which means basically when she was out on the team, talking about she don't need a man or she needs a bag and all this other crap. Well, you created a public portfolio that is perfect for a man taking a woman to court for the custody, full custody of his child. So they had to get some dirt on this young man, on Darius. They had to get some dirt on him. And see, this is how it goes. So, and this is not something that I can talk from personal experience, but just like I said, man, we don't spill tea. We just be like, you know what? Cut her off. Cut off any contact to her. Don't deal with anybody that's any dealings with her. Leave it be. That's how we just move on with our lives. Because, you know, everybody's character come out eventually. So a person's character, their true nature, will reveal itself. No perfect now, the reason why I put this up is because at what point do men get the benefit of the doubt? At what point do men get the benefit of the doubt? Men who have been a good character, men who have not been into shady politics, men who are stand-up guys, every other aspect of their life. Why does it take one person, one woman to come out with unspecific points in time, date timelines, nothing specific, just the whole general smear campaign. Smear campaign is based in generalities. Oh, he was abusive. Oh, he hit me. But when? He was physically abusive. Where's the police report? Where's the documentation? Yeah, no. That guy that you were talking about 2 weeks ago, yeah, he has a reputation for this. He has number one paper putting his hands on him for no reason whatsoever. This particular guy he's talking about, man, he speaks plain. He passed all his certifications and all his plans and all his background checks, and nothing will come up on him. Why now do you believe him when you yourself have a messy background, a messy past? Why? You're the one talking about I'm an alpha woman, and, you know, I'm a boss chick, and I'm, I talk to men the way I want you. Like, we have it on record. We had this Twitter exchange during the time of the Usher concert on record. One of the men going to get the benefit of the doubt. And this ain't even just a black issue. Because you look at Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. the accusations alone ruined his career. Cost him millions of dollars for a game. And it was only when he decided to sue her for defamation, because she put out a whole book lying to him, that he was able to get validation that the world saw Amber Heard for who she was. Because when she first came out, Johnny Depp's acting career was stopped to a halt. Johnny Depp was the one, he was actually in the franchise of Pirates of the Caribbean. He was about to go on like Sylvester Stallone type to push with his film. He was about to get, you probably would have 7 or 8 different renditions of Pirates of the Caribbean. I think they were about to do like another Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, whatever that movie was. Sorry, I'm terrible with titles. I know what you're talking about. There were other films that were going to come out, like other projects he was working on. He got slammed, the door slammed shut on. Because we couldn't give him the benefit. He didn't get the benefit of the doubt. And then, here's the thing. When the revelation comes out, and now his claims are being abused. Used to validate. Where's the record? Where's the Batman? Where are the people who are loud and shouting, besmirching this thing? Where are they at with their front page apologies? For ruining a man's life. Amber Heard was still in movies. She didn't get her career shut down. And the crazy thing is, she only got in movies, the big blockbuster films, because Johnny Depp would have confirmed him for. Now, Darius Jackson doesn't have that kind of juice. His brother doesn't even have that kind of juice. The brother that, you know, everybody refers to in terms of like his connection to Hollywood. His brother doesn't even have that kind of juice. But we're struggling out here to right this wrong. You know the funny thing about Darius, when he pulled out all his evidence, photos, when he got her acknowledging through text messages and things of that nature about being abusive to him, when he asked her acknowledging that he left her, he blocked her, and that she shut his phone off, and then, you know, like, and then have her basically apologize for some bad behavior, for putting her hands on him. Like, now all of a sudden, everybody that was so accusatory of Darius Jackson, slam dunk verdict of his guilty nature in terms of domestic violence, now all of a sudden, all those same people are talking about we need to see more improvement evidence. In other words, we need to keep waiting and waiting and waiting until the slightest finished shred of information is leaked that will offer Kiki the validation to Kiki and to for her to be able to get a pass from him. This speaks to something that we were talking about before. This is a sickness. This is when you talk about people who don't like other groups of people. And more specifically, because I need men, sisters, black women. Black women to the office. Black women to the office. You're being summoned by the professor. You don't like us. So you try to find every reason to validate us being criminal, us being dead, us being abusive, us in all these terrible and wicked ways. And it doesn't matter how much evidence is to the contrary. you still find a way to make us the bad guy, and you become a perpetual villain. I mean, excuse me, perpetual victim. It's like Lex Luthor blaming Superman for why he does so much wicked and evil stuff in the world. It's like Harley Quinn. No, but I'm not gonna make that. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. But it speaks to the fact that Black women got to look in the mirror. I have a severe personality disorder, a bitterness that exists amongst the masses that will instantaneously make a brother the bad guy because somebody from his sister says something. And I'm telling you, man, I've dealt with women, horrible people, when it really comes down to it. You're going to look at a bastard first. And they're real good at fooling you because they done fooled everybody. They got some skill in this. Got some practice in this. And then you come down to it, and they don't, for whatever reason, they aren't able to. No same sisters, just look at them in their phone. And you hear them. Upset. That's legitimate. That justifies homicide. Zipping the homicide took the body. For the public opinion, we really like to know. But at what point do we get the benefit of the doubt? And fellas, especially community ties out there that all the way from the Russians, you know, come in and escape on. When do y'all want to actually drop y'all? Because when we have conversations with y'all one-on-one when no women are in the room, or you don't think it's going to get back to women, your tone is a lot different. The things you say to them are hypocritical because you're peacocking. Your low self-esteem needs to be fed by your massive ego. Or your massive ego needs to be fed by something. And you create more roadblocks for us because you provide, you hold up other brothers to become scapegoats in this particular man. And then y'all kept throwing them in the bus. Usher was doing that. And you see what Kiki Palmer's brother said? He later came out and retracted all of that, but a angry heart. Hey, tough. Speaks the bitter truth. Black relationships are falling apart all from. This is why you can look to these celebrity situations. And for people to say, well, that's just a celebrity. Have you not studied the comment section? Me and my people, we screenshot the comment section because that's the most important part of the action. And because most people feel as though it's anonymous, they say how they really feel. We have an era, not just generation, but an era of women feel validated by this stuff. Live through the eyes of Sexy Red and Megan Stein. This is the theme song to their lives. Say what you want, but I don't hear a lot of grown men out there, you know, mimicking and talking about how these young gangster rappers and these young girl rappers, you know, are an inspiration to any of them. They might try to legitimize their music, but they do not go out there trying to be the next, you know, Little Dirt for anybody imagining. That's not what we're thinking about. So, the whole setup not one of those things. And one more thing. Ladies, when we're holding you accountable, can we stop that y'all trying to do the double reverse, the Udo double reverse on us?
Oh, wait.
No. Let's just handle it this way, everyone. We already know y'all want to come back with both ways now. It was one way for 40 years. It was always our fault for 40 years. So now that we've given y'all a little reflection, why don't you just sit there like a big girl, take your medicine, and enjoy it. Get castor oil is not the most pleasant thing, but it's good for your body. It flushes out the impurities. And a lot of impurities are flushed out in the system. So with that said, man, listen. Appreciate your time. Thank y'all. I'm pulling up all this out. This show is actually kind of off the top. Good at what I do. You wouldn't agree, right? Y'all agree. I hear y'all. And to all my teachers, I'll see y'all next week. Take us home, last time.
You're listening to Talk Radio with your man, Lester Kenyon, on FetLifeStation.com.
Fet Life Station, the vibe starter. Featured guest DJs, music news, the hottest DJs from around the world.